Hey, how's it going? This is Chris, and this is episode 31 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. Welcome back. Thank you again for joining me. Today I'm going to have a little fun. I'm going to take you a little off base, a little off course, and take you out of your comfort zone a little bit. You know, just I'm going to get a little philosophical, and I want to talk about anarchy. Anarchy, because I think it's an interesting thing for everybody to think about, and especially libertarians and Republicans. I think that we generally, people think of anarchy as chaos and danger, people slaughtering each other in the streets and rioting and burning down. That's not anarchy in the sense of the political philosophy. So what is the political philosophy? The political philosophy of anarchy, of anarchism, is a society without government. And I think that it doesn't mean chaos. It means, as one person described it, order without power. It is the freedom from being dominated, the freedom from domination. And I think that it's an interesting thing to think about, because I'm not an anarchist. I'm a libertarian. I'm a Republican. I'm a minarchist. I believe in limited government. We believe that the United States was founded by under a constitution, a constitutional order, and the constitution limits the powers of the government. And that's a pretty good design if we can actually get the government to stick to it. Well, obviously it hasn't worked out too well, because the government has not stuck to its constitutional limitations, and we, the people, have not made it. We have not forced it to. We have not curtailed, dialed back the government. As the government gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, the people get more more dominated, right? We are all dominated by government. We are dominated by these people. You can even ask, do we even have order? What is order? We have law and order, but is that law and order, is that really uniformly applied to everybody? Or do you have to be somebody that the government likes in order to get justice? You might not get any justice unless the government likes you, unless you're one of their buddies, one of their cronies. And so I think that, you got to go back to the beginning of anarchy and anarchism. Really, there's one guy, there's a few guys that I think everybody should read about and study, but there's one guy named Pierre-Joseph Proudhon, who was a French guy born in early 1800s, and he's kind of the first guy who really identified himself as an anarchist. And he believed that the government was the source of all the problems in the world, essentially. And look, this is the same group of people. There's another guy named Mikhail Bakunin, who was a contemporary of Proudhon, and also of Marx, Karl Marx. And these guys, all three of them, the Marxists, the communists, the anarchists, they were all kind of thinking this along the same lines, that they looked around, they all made the same mistakes, but then they all had the same ideas, the same right ideas. But they looked around at the economy of the 1800s, and I've talked about this before, about how the economy of the 1800s was basically a very oppressive economy. It was the ruling class, the aristocracies, the elites, the royal families, the monarchies, they were in charge and they owned everything. And it was very hard for anybody to be upwardly mobile in Europe in the 1800s. And so these guys, they all realized that, and they looked around, and they, of course, they called that capitalism, which it's not. It's not capitalism. It's crony capitalism. It's not free market competitive capitalism. If you have a government that is protecting the people at the top from competition from people at the bottom, you know, that's what makes America so, that's what made America so great at the beginning, is that anybody could come up with a great idea and challenge the ruling class. You know, a lot of the richest men, the richest guys in American history started out with nothing. And they had a great idea, and they were hard workers, and they rose to the top. And you couldn't do that in Europe. It was very hard to do that in Europe. You might be able to, but it was much harder. And you know, even Mikhail Bakunin, in his pamphlet, The Capitalist System, talked about this. He said that, you know, the capitalists are the ones given the right, guaranteed by the state, and we use the word state to mean government, guaranteed by the state to live without working. And this was a huge, this is what what Karl Marx was talking about also, about the capitalists, the bourgeoisie. They exploited and oppressed the workers, and if you, oh sure, maybe, you know, you were Bakunin talks about this, about maybe you could quit anytime you want. But really, did you have the means to quit? I mean, wouldn't you? You're sure you might. You were basically selling yourself into slavery or serfdom every time you got a job. And if you quit your job, you were you might be temporarily free, but you'd also starve. You know, and in that kind of economy, he was right. They were right. And but see, that's the problem. They looked around, and they called that system capitalism, which is the big mistake that they made. But see, Bakunin at least understood the mistake that Marx was making, because Bakunin and Marx split, because Marx was Marx believed that, but Marx was essentially an anarchist as well, who wanted to get rid of the government. But in order to get rid of the government, he believed that you have to create this all-powerful government to get rid of the government. And Bakunin was like, well, wait a minute, this is stupid. That's a terrible idea, because once you give these people in government all that power, they're never going to give it up. And he was right about that. So, you know, that's what the Soviet Union never got past the theoretical dictatorship of the proletariat stage, you know. Because you create all you do is you swap one kind of ruling class for another kind of ruling class, right? You swap this kind of capitalist ruling class for a political ruling class. And, you know, what was great about America was that there was no ruling class. You know, you could anybody could start from rags to riches, could start with nothing, start from the ground up and become rich and become famous and become successful, and nobody was keeping you down. And I mean, obviously it wasn't perfect, but nobody was keeping you down, and there was no real political ruling class, because the government had very little power at the beginning. And so the government, you know, obviously it has gotten worse and worse and worse over 200 years, and you know, you've got episodes where, for example, the railroads, you know, where you had these guys, I've mentioned this book before, the Franz Oppenheimer, The State, by Franz Oppenheimer, great book about political entrepreneurs, basically, how you've got the political entrepreneurs and the market entrepreneurs, and the political entrepreneurs are the ones who can't make it if in the market, in the free market. They just use the political power to get ahead, and the railroads were a great example of that. These railroads were getting all this money from the government, and the government, you know, the U.S. government, and so they did all kinds of shady deals, shady, stupid, you know, inefficient things. They would get paid by how many miles of track you laid. So they would lay track in squiggly lines. They wouldn't lay a straight line. That would be less, you know, fewer miles. They would make less money that way. So they would lay track on frozen ground that would have to be redone later. But they didn't care because they were getting paid by the government. So, you know, all of this stuff. So, you know, you've got episodes in American history where you have this kind of government intervention. I mean, and now, of course, now obviously, it's just gotten way out of hand. I mean, the entire economy of the United States is controlled by the government very strictly. And it's much, much harder for anybody to start with nothing and rise. You know, I've said this before about how, for example, if a young single mother wanted to bake cookies in her kitchen and sell these cookies to her friends and to the people in her community, Republicans and libertarians would say, yeah, that's great. Go for it. That's a great idea. You'll make money. You'll be independent. You'll make some extra money. You'll be more free. Your standard of living will rise because you will have more access to goods and services. You'll be able to buy more stuff. You'll be able to take a week off every once in a while because you can save money, and it'll be great for you. But Democrats will say, no, you can't do that. Your cookies might be poison. You have to get FDA certification for your kitchen, and you need to buy a $4,000 oven and all this crap. You know, and that's what happens when the government gets too big, and it gets too, and that's what happens when we, the people, say that we need the government. Oh yes, we got to have the government to save us, and we put so much faith in the government, and that brings me to another guy that I think people should read. There's a great little book called The Most Dangerous Superstition by a guy named Larkin Rose. Oh man, you read that book, and he's an anarchist, and you know, that's the why I'm doing this episode, is because I think that a lot of Republicans would really agree with all of this stuff. They'd agree with this. You know, they would agree that, yeah, you know, he's right. And, you know, Larkin Rose talks about all the worst atrocities of history weren't committed by free individual citizens just doing what they wanted to do. They were committed by people following orders. They were committed by people obeying authority. You know, Adolf Hitler's twisted brain was not what killed 6 million people, 6 million Jews, and 11 million people total, at least, in Germany, in Europe. It wasn't just Adolf Hitler, it was the people who believed in Adolf Hitler, the people who followed his rules, who believed that he had this authority to order people around and tell people what to do. And those are the people who did the damage. Those are the people who did all the actual killing and murdering. So, you know, it's very dangerous to believe in that other people have the ability, have the right, have the moral authority to dominate over you. You know, the idea of anarchism is that our society should be based on morality, and that morality should be based on respecting each other's rights. Life, liberty, property. I shouldn't steal from you. I shouldn't assault you, murder you, burn down your property, destroy your property, steal your property, enslave you, defraud you. I shouldn't do any of those things. And the measure of a moral society shouldn't be, you know, how much we follow the rules. that our government gives us. We follow the authority, obey authority. Obeying authority is not moral in itself, right? True morality is respecting each other's rights. And if the government becomes the violator of the rights, of those rights, or becomes the mechanism by which we can violate each other's rights, then obviously that's immoral. And the problem, of course, is that all government throughout history, governments tend to move toward into that direction. And so I know that this is a little off base here. Taking a little detour, but I wanted to just talk about it a little bit, about anarchism. You know, the anarchists are, I think it's really interesting to read about Marx and Proudhon and Bakunin, and there's another guy, Lysander Spooner, who's a really interesting guy, who basically, he's against the United States Constitution because he doesn't believe that the Constitution limits the government, and he's right. It doesn't. It hasn't limited the government. You know, we Republicans and Libertarians, we believe that we need to get back to the Constitution. We need to limit the power of government, but we're outvoted. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line, is we're outvoted, and those of us who believe that, those of us who really believe that the government should just be limited by its constitutional constraints, we're outvoted. And that brings you to democracy, where, you know, there's another guy, Hans Hermann Hoppe, who wrote Democracy, the God That Failed. And he's referring to, the title is referring to another book called The God That Failed, which is about communism. And that's a great book. The God That Failed is a collection of essays by some guys who were communists, and in the early 1900s, and they join. It's their story about why they joined the Communist Party, and then why eventually they got out of the Communist Party. They left the Communist Party, and some of them are similar to Bakunin, who basically they saw what was going on. The communists were basically turned into totalitarians, and that was not the original idea of communism. The original idea of communism was really anarchism, to get rid of the government so that people could be free from domination. But of course that's not how it went. We can look at the Soviet Union. People were not free in the Soviet Union. People were not free in Venezuela or Cuba or China. People are not free in communist countries. Communism creates a political ruling class, a ruthless, brutal political ruling class. And so there, you know, but Hans Hermann Hoppe wrote a book about democracy. He said, Democracy, the God That Failed. And democracy is this idea that, well, as long as we vote on something, it's okay. Oh yeah, well, we voted on it, so therefore it's okay. And I've said this before about, for example, a great example is slavery. Slavery was at one point totally supported by the majority of people in all over the world. I mean, it was an institution that existed all over the world, and people thought it was okay. People thought it was right. People thought it was totally normal. But that didn't make it right. It didn't make it right just because people, the majority, but you know, if 51% votes to murder the 49%, that doesn't make it right. Democracy. And that's why, you know, that's why America was designed. America was designed as a place where we couldn't vote on everything. You know, you can't vote on things like, you know, the Democrats think, well, you know, if the majority of people vote to outlaw, AR-15s, then we should outlaw AR-15s. No, there are some things that you can't vote on. I don't care if 51%. I don't care if 99% of the people support banning assault rifles or AR-15s or you know, I'm using assault rifle incorrectly, of course. But I don't care, because that's not up for a vote. The Second Amendment's not up for a vote. The right, the ability to defend myself, the ability to defend this country against enemies, foreign and domestic, that's not up for vote. You can vote all you want, I don't care. And but see, if we vote and then the majority empower this military or this police to kick down my door, well, I mean, does that make any of that right? You know, obviously not. So democracy is in his mind, and democracy has its limits. It has its dangers. You know, people, just because a mob, 51% of the people, you know, if you're walking down the street and an angry mob attacks you, well, you're outvoted, right? I mean, there's 99 of them and one of you. And so the 99 people decide to just beat the hell out of you and murder you and steal all your stuff. Hey, that's democracy. Yeah, so you know, I'm getting off of the even point here, but these are what these kind of anarchists think about. You know, Hans Hermann Hoppe, and there's another guy named Michael Malice, who is great. He is a total shit stirrer, and he will piss you off. There's no doubt about it. He will piss everybody off, but he is one of those guys that I think everybody needs to expose themselves to. Everybody needs to be exposed to these ideas. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to sort of expose people to these new, you know, different ideas, and trying to penetrate people's echo chambers and bubbles, personal bubbles. You know, I think a lot of people are surrounded by people who, America's full of people of a variety of thought, schools of thought. But I think that we don't often talk to each other, and we don't often sort of take a step outside of our comfort zone and think about something that we've never thought about before. A lot of people, I don't think a lot of Republicans have ever thought about anarchy and anarchism and what it really is and what it really means. So anyway, that's just a quickie episode on anarchy. It gets a bad rap, and I'm here to destigmatize anarchism. So if I can do that, I don't know, but it's fun to think about, and it's fun to read. It's really interesting, I think, to read guys like, you know, Michael Malice has a book out right now, just recently released, I think it was this year or last year, called the Anarchist's Handbook, I think it's what it's called, as opposed to the Anarchist's Cookbook. Different. It's a different book. I think that's banned. I remember that from the 80s, early 80s. So, all right, that's, you know, episode 31. If you like this podcast, you can find this all over the place now on Amazon and Google and Spotify and all kinds of places. And just give me some good reviews, I guess, if you can, and share it on social media if you can. And, you know, you can comment on Podbean, you can comment on my social media. I'm all over social media, on Minds and Sovereign and Parler and Gab and Getter and MeWe and God, there's got to be more. So I don't know. So look me up and let me know what you think. All right, I'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.